Chapter 16. A Fight to the Death. White Fang already knew that he must leave the master's dogs alone. Dick soon accepted him and even tried to make friends, until White Fang made it clear that he also wished to be left alone. Kali accepted him because the humans allowed him in, but she snapped and snarled at him all day long, while he tried to keep out of her way. Sierra Vista, the master's home, contained far more people than Grey Beaver's teepee. There were his master's father and mother, Judge and Mrs. Scott. The master had two sisters, Beth and Mary. There was Alice, the master's wife, and their two children, Maud, who was 6, and 4-year-old Whedon Jr. White Fang quickly understood that they all belonged to the master, and it was his job to protect them. He came to learn which people were closest to Whedon, and especially valuable to him. He had not had good experiences of children in the past, and he feared their hands. Maud and Whedon Jr. loved to push their little fingers into his fur, and when White Fang saw how important they were to the master, he did not complain. If they went too far with him, he just got up and walked away, never growling at them. In fact, he grew to like them. White Fang also liked Judge Scott, partly because he was important to the master, but also because he did not show his feelings. White Fang often lay at Judge Scott's feet in the garden while he read the newspaper, now and then saying a word or two to the wolf. In the Northland, dogs were the only animals that lived with humans. Everything else was wild, and that meant it was food. As White Fang came around the corner of the house on his second day, he met a chicken that had escaped from the chicken pen. It was fat and tasty, and White Fang licked his lips when he had finished eating it. 2 nights later, after watching the chicken yard and how the birds behaved, White Fang climbed onto the roof of one of the chicken houses and dropped to the ground inside the yard. A moment later, he was in the house, and the killing began. The next morning, when Whedon came outside, one of his workers had laid 50 chickens on the grass, all dead. Whedon whistled softly to himself. White Fang showed no sign of shame, because he thought he had done a good job. Whedon spoke crossly to the wolf, held his head down to a dead chicken, and hit him hard. An angry word from his master was far worse than a beating from Grey Beaver or Beauty, going deep into White Fang's heart. The master led White Fang into the chicken yard, where they were surrounded by more live birds. Each time Whedon saw White Fang ready to spring, he checked him with his voice.
"You'll never stop a chicken killer," said Judge Scott at lunch that day. "Once they've tasted the blood..."
"I'll lock White Fang in the chicken yard all afternoon," said Whedon.
The whole family came to watch the show, but there was nothing to see. Locked in the chicken yard, White Fang lay down and went to sleep. He had learned the law, and that was that. There was plenty of food and no work for White Fang in the Southland. There was no danger and no pain. He learned to play fight with the master, and even how to laugh. Everything was good except for one thing, Kali. She never gave him a moment's peace. She followed him around like a police officer, waiting for him to do something wrong. When she went into a rage because of some small crime that White Fang was guilty of, he simply lay down and went to sleep. During White Fang's second winter in the Southland, something strange happened. Instead of biting him, Kali played with him gently, and one day led him off on a long chase into the woods. They ran together, as Kicha and One-Eye had run together many years before in the silent Northland forest. About this time, a story of special interest to the people of Sierra Vista was in the newspapers. A very dangerous prisoner had escaped from San Quentin prison. Punishment had failed to change the man, and the result of his time in jail was to make him fiercer. His name was Jim Hall. For 3 years, he was made to live in a metal box where no sunlight ever entered. He saw no human face and never spoke. When his food was pushed in, he growled like a wolf in a cage. He hated everything and spent all his time in a rage. Then, one night, he escaped, killing 3 prison officers with his hands. He had taken their guns, and a bag of gold was now to be paid to anyone who caught him, alive or dead. But nobody could catch him. 3 years before, a judge had sent Jim Hall to prison for 50 years for the murder of an old lady. He had already admitted to 2 earlier crimes of stealing, but this time he was not guilty. He had been in another town when the old lady was murdered. But the police had no interest in finding the person who was actually guilty. It was much easier to put Jim Hall in jail again, so they made up a story. The judge in the courtroom did not know that the police were lying, but Jim Hall believed he did, and that the judge was part of it. As he was led off to jail, he promised one day to kill the judge. And that judge, of course, was Judge Scott. Whedon's wife, Alice, was worried, and each night, when everyone had gone to bed, she crept downstairs. She let White Fang in to sleep by the front door. Each morning, she came down early to let him out again. One night, White Fang was dozing when a smell woke him. He knew at once that a stranger was inside the house. He heard movements. The human walked softly, but not as softly as White Fang, who followed silently. At the foot of the staircase, the human stopped. White Fang did not move a hair as he watched and waited. The stranger put his foot on the first step. It was then that White Fang attacked. He gave no warning, no snarl. He sprang into the air and landed on the man's back, biting into the man's neck and pulling him over backward. Together, they crashed to the floor. White Fang jumped clear and then sprang back, his fangs biting. The house woke. A gun was fired. It sounded like 20 men fighting inside the house. There was a terrible scream and snarling and growling and crashing of furniture and glass. And then it stopped. It had lasted 3 minutes. The family were all on the stairs looking into the blackness. Whedon switched on the lights, and he and Judge Scott went ahead, guns in hand. They did not need their guns. White Fang had done his work, and the man was dead.
"Jim Hall," said Judge Scott.
White Fang was lying beside him. His eyes were closed, but his tail tried weakly to move at the sound of their voices.
"He's finished," said his master. "We have to try to save him," said the judge.
A doctor was called, and the doctor worked on the wolf for 2 hours. "He has one chance in 10,000, the doctor said afterward. "His bones are broken, he's lost most of his blood, and 3 bullets have passed through his body." But the doctor was not used to Arctic wolves. He was used to soft humans who led easy and comfortable lives. White Fang had come from the wild, where the weak die young and only the strong stay alive. In the next few weeks, White Fang slept long hours and dreamed of all the ghosts of his past. His life in the cave with Kicha, crawling on his belly to Grey Beaver, being tormented by Lip Lip and the puppy pack. He saw himself hunting during the famine, running in Mitsaw's sled team and the great journey with Grey Beaver. He saw Beauty Smith and all the fights he had won, and the last one with Cherokee that he had lost. There was Matt, who had trained him to run with a new team, followed by the boat trip, the city noise, and the train ride. And through all that, there was the master. Finally, White Fang was strong enough to stand on his legs again. He went outside like a king, with all of the Sierra Vista humans around him. He had saved their lives, and they loved him. They led him to the grass where Collie was lying. Around her were six puppies. At first, she snarled at him, as Kicha had once snarled at One Eye. But the master pushed one of the puppies toward him, while Beth held the jealous Collie. White Fang and the puppy touched noses, and he felt the warm little tongue on his face. He did not know why, but his tongue came out and licked the puppy's face in return. Then he lay down on the grass and began to doze in the warm sun. Penguin Readers, White Fang, Jack London, Level 6. Retold by Jane Rollison. Illustrated by Alec Sodorovsky. Series editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Christopher Ragland. Copyright, Penguin Books Limited, 2020.